Hey there. Welcome to the Loco Travel Life Podcast, where we, two moms and sisters, share our experiences of traveling with our kiddos. I'm Lindsay, or as my nephews call me, Lolo.
And I'm Carly, aka Auntie Coco, and we're your hosts. In this episode, we're going to be chatting with fellow mama, podcaster, and therapist Amberly Stevens. Amberly is the co-host of the podcast Read, Mamalize, Repeat, a book club-like podcast where they talk about books on self-development, parenthood, relationships, and psychology. In this episode, we're excited to get Amberly's perspective on brain development, core memories, and how travel can impact a child. But before we dive in, Amberly, can you tell us about you, your family, what ages are your kiddos, and where's home for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. Let's see. I'm a therapist living in Madison, Wisconsin. Three boys, 8, 6, and 2.5. They are young. They are fun. We have a great time.
So we want to get your perspective on what core memories are and what that means.
Yeah, I was thinking a lot about this question because I was like, what does this actually mean to me, especially through the lens of brain development and child development? This is just my perspective and opinion based on the things that I have learned. Thinking about core memories from a brain development perspective, I would say has a lot to do with time of those memories. And then I would also say actually anything that is a very multi-sensory experience and something that lights up lots of different parts of the brain and lots of different parts of the nervous system. Also, the attachment and connection from child to caregiver is really important in the way that their brains and their nervous systems grow and develop.
Yeah, I'm just curious about, like you said, firing the senses and firing various parts of the brain. So are there certain activities that kind of fire those all at the same time in travel related experiences?
The most learning happens in the brain for kids when as many of the senses as possible are incorporated into that learning experience. So now if we're thinking about that in terms of travel, you can see how traveling can really become those core memories because you're doing it with your caregiver, but then also how many senses get turned on all at the same time when you're in a new place, you're seeing new things, different smells, different sounds, maybe different textures, maybe you're eating food that you've never had before, right? There's a lot going on there that can really just do really interesting and specific things for brain development.
So what, if any, core memories do you have from travel?
I grew up in Utah, really close to mountains, and we did a lot of camping from the time I was like teeny tiny. It's multifaceted because I have actual tangible memories, things that I can pull back from and remember a specific event that happened, right? I can remember going to a specific campground and getting stung by a bee and then getting stuck down in the ravine and not being able to climb back up. I remember random things like that. There's a little bit more to it because I don't recall every single camping trip I took with my family, but it's part of my history and it's part of my story and it's part of our family story. I also have memories of looking at pictures of certain trips. I have memories of watching video of my third birthday. We were camping. I'm a September birthday. And I have memories of watching the videos of me opening my birthday presents while I was camping. And it just became this funny family joke where I opened up one of my presents and I just exclaimed, "I love it. What is it?" And everyone laughs, right? And then that kind of becomes a little bit part of our family story. And so then as I'm growing up, even though I don't recall that specific moment of being 3 years old and opening up my present, that still, it's a part of me. It's a part of my memory. And it's a part of the way that my family connects with each other in like these shared experiences. And all of that just does so many wonderful things for a person as they're growing up.
I think Lolo and I definitely have that dialogue of some of those family trips from when we were younger and reminiscing on those and highlights from them and talking about them. And just even adults now too, there's something funny that's happened on a vacation and we can all just joke about it and enjoy those moments.
So yeah, it's just fun. It has also sparked for me a love of camping and a love of being outdoors. And that is a part of who I am. My nervous system feels very settled when I'm out in nature. And I do really think that it has to do with that feeling of it being familiar in my body, in my nervous system, back from the days when my nervous system was developing and spending so much time outside.
So speaking to that anxious mom that maybe hasn't traveled, is scared of it, what advice would you give for road trips or camping?
Like I said, I'm from Utah. My family live there still. We live in Wisconsin, and it's about a 19-hour drive, depending on the route that you take. Once we had to start paying for our children's flights, we stopped flying and we started driving. And we have made that drive several times there and back. And I feel like we're getting it down to a science. So the first thing that I would say, understanding your children, understanding what their needs are. Your kids are going to be who they're going to be. When you're traveling, you may just see even more of who they are and especially what their needs are. I think about needs a lot with my kids because they are all so different. So yeah, I think that just traveling with kids can just reinforce even more a little bit of who they are, what they need, how to relate to them. The second thing that I would say is that you and your kids deserve to be in any space that you want to be in. And that is something that is not always easy to really feel and believe. I know it hasn't been for me. And that's definitely been a journey in my 8 years as a parent. You don't really get to choose how other people are going to respond if your baby is crying on the flight, right? Or if they're running around at the rest stop and people are annoyed by that, that is on them. That is not your responsibility to try to manage their experience for them. You can't do that to yourself. That's something that I've been working really hard to put down. Unfortunately, our society is not great about making spaces feel very welcome for kids and for people with families. And that is something that I could really get high on my soapbox about.
Side note, I think between 18 months to about like 24 months is the hardest age to travel. I have a 2.5-year-old, so I've been on a lot of flights with him. That was the worst phase for me because he didn't love technology and it was just really difficult to keep him entertained for a long period of time. I think that was probably my worst experience. And I was like, am I going to do this again? And I was like, yes, of course I'm going to do this again.
I agree with you. 18 months to 2-ish, 2.5. For sure. Because once they reach that sweet spot where it's you're entertained by a screen for a certain amount of time, I know everyone has different philosophies about how they handle things. And that's absolutely fine. Technology is my friend when I'm traveling. I love the way that I handle technology on road trips. I'm really proud of the way that we figured it out. What we have found is that once the kid gets the screen and the tablet, that's what they want for the rest of the time. And then stopping having the screen and going back to just like looking out the window or looking at their books or whatever, that's a really difficult thing, which makes a lot of sense. Like their brains are getting so much stimulation, and then to turn that stimulation off and go into something that's less stimulating, they're going to get bored of those other things way faster. So the way that we handle it is we get up and we have breakfast in the car while we're driving. They get their books. If they have little tiny toys that they're playing with that they have, or they can just look out the window. That's what we do for the first half of the day. And a trip from Wisconsin to Utah is a multi-day experience. So the first part of the day, that's how it is. And if they're asking for screens, we say, you get your screens after lunchtime, or you get your screens at 12:30 or whatever. They know when it's coming. And then we are in charge of when they get the technology. And then once we've decided now is the time, I like to try to have it be like we've gone a little bit further than half of our drive for that day, but not necessarily. Then we do our stop and we get them each their devices. And then it is just silent in the car. They have their headphones. and my husband and I can just chat. Or if I'm by myself, I've done the drive by myself with the kids several times too. I just have my AirPod in and I listen to my audiobook. And they now know how to manage all of their own technology and all that stuff, which is nice too. And then they get it either until we stop for the night or until their batteries die. And if their batteries die, we're like, okay, we'll charge them tonight and then you get it again tomorrow. So yes, I would say my biggest tip with the road trips is the technology. And then the other thing that I've started doing with my older two, I started doing this 2 years ago, is I get each of them their own backpack filled with snacks. And they are in charge of managing their own snacks. And that can be a whole other thing that people feel really anxious about, is like what they're eating in the car, or like how much like junk food they're eating, all that kind of stuff. From my perspective, when I'm traveling, it's let's just do whatever we need to do for it to be a positive experience. Because now going back to like brain development and what the brain does in any of these kinds of situations, now you're building like a really positive association with travel, with road trips, whether it's because, oh, we get all this special time on our screen, or, oh, we get all this fun special food that we don't usually get. I feel people land in different camps when it comes to food and screens and like all that kind of stuff. And that's fine. This is the approach that I have with it, the perspective that I have.
Those associations are so true. I have made not as far as 17 hours to Utah, but I make the 8 hour trip to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. Frequently. Way frequently.
Frequently.
Yeah. Probably, good for you. That's awesome.
I would say at least every 2 months, I usually make the journey. And sometimes I go with my husband and sometimes I don't. Just depends on his work schedule. And so I usually drive at night, although I'm going to have to be shifting probably a little bit sooner. But Kai does really great at night in the car, and he usually will fall asleep and he's great with me. But it was funny because he now associates driving late at night that we're going to Coco's.
Oh,
so my husband flew to Denver to meet me on a work trip. And we put Kai in the car and he was tired and he was sleeping, and we get to the hotel and he goes, Coco's? And I was just like, he associates that, and like he was happy and excited. And I was just like, that makes the 8 hour trip worth it, because he has these positive associations of going to visit family.
I love that. That's amazing. And that is the thing too. I feel like the second you have a child or are around babies and toddlers, you realize how early and how soon those really strong associations and connections are being made. And it sometimes is mind blowing. And it is so beautiful to witness.
Yes. I don't know if you're like super active on Instagram, but if anybody wanted to connect with you, how could they do that?
Yeah, I have just a private Instagram. It's just Amberly Stevens. And then I also participate in the Read Mommalize Repeat Instagram page. And so that's definitely another way to connect.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Loco Travel Life podcast. Until next time, Loco Travel Lifers, get out there, face the loco, and enjoy your next adventure. You've got this.